Hey, About Last Night podcast fans, what up? Hey, can we talk for a second? Can we talk money? Let's talk money. Truth is, sometimes honest, hardworking folks need a little bit extra, okay? And some banks don't always make it fast or easy, but I'll tell you who does. Avant! Finally, there's a company who gets it. Avant, A-V-A-N-T. Guess what? They provide access to personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000 without ever stepping foot in a branch. All you got to do is simply go to avantoffer.com and check your competitive rate, okay? Checking your rate is risk-free. There's no risk. Is there a risk? No, man, it's risk-free with no effect on your FICO score, all right? Complete your application in minutes, and the funds could be in your account as soon as tomorrow. See how easy and convenient borrowing is through avantoffer.com. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time. Who else does that? Nobody? That's right. For this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com and enter promo code LASTNIGHT. That's A-V-A-N-T offer.com, promo code LASTNIGHT. Avantoffer.com, promo code LASTNIGHT. Loans made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details. Hey, everybody. It's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy holidays! And all that wonderful stuff. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Whatever else you celebrate. I don't know. What else is there to celebrate? Happy Don't Go to the Mall week? Happy being alive. So much crazy shit in the world. People eating faces on bath salts and people fighting over Funky Ducks and Walmart and trampling each other. There's a lot of crazy shit out there. So stay safe. Stay safe this holiday season. Don't blow off your hand with a firework or, you know, eat too much that you puke blood or something. You know, I'm just be safe so you can listen to the podcast, all right? We appreciate you guys listening. On iTunes, Stitcher, your iPhones, your Android device. AboutLastNightPodcast.com is where you can get all past and present episodes. Your guys' comments and ratings have been killing it lately. If you haven't done that yet, do it for the holidays, man. Have that be your gift to us. Is right now going to iTunes, giving us a 5-star rating. It takes 2 seconds. Comment on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. Put something as simple as Happy Holidays, Brad and Adam. Hey. You know, you guys are cool, whatever it is. You know, if you guys were a young girl in the 7th grade, I'd try to have sex with you. You know, whatever you want to say to make us feel good. Do it for the holidays. Do it for your love of the podcast. We appreciate all the support. Today's episode is, wow, this is a spitfire ball of a person. Our guest today is comedian Russ Gutten. Russ Gutten resides in New York City, baby. And he is unlike anyone you will ever speak to, hang out with, listen to talk. A father of two, a great comedian, a great friend, a writer, wrote musicals back in the day, had a rare blood disease that hospitalized him and grew him to fall in love with superhero movies. We get into that, how comedy has changed his life. I'm moving to New York from L.A., was unexpected but a game changer. He's super Jewy. He loves the 90s like we do, and you will hear him speak and go, are you the voice of like a cartoon? Because you should be. Also, our boy Sandy Danto joins me on this episode. Brad was out of town, so Sandy filled in to help me interview Russ. And of course, Sandy, friend of the pod, one of the funniest dudes around. He's also known Russ as long as I have, so it was a great Jew hat trick of fucking comedy and silliness. But Sandy's the best, so it was great that he filled in for Brad to interview Papa Russ Gutten with me. Follow Sandy Danto on Twitter at Sandy Danto. Russ Gutten on Twitter at Russ Gutten on Twitter is where you can follow him. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. Follow About Last Night Podcast on Twitter at ALN Podcast. Keep up for all the news, updates, tour dates, pod releases, and whatnot. You can find me on the road. Where am I going to be? Well, December 27th, baby. I'm going to be in Bellingham, Washington. That's an hour and a half north of Seattle. And there's a club up there called Wild Buffalo that actually Snoop Dogg is playing at tonight. I'm going to be the next act there after Snoop Dogg. So I will try to follow as best I can I wish I could be there tonight. Holy shit. My boy Lee Huffman runs that joint, and they got Snoop Dogg. And how do you follow up Snoop? You follow him with a white Jewish comedian from Seattle. So I'll try to fill the room with as much weed as he did and as much comedy as he did. But sorry, not as much rapping as he is going to do. Or maybe I will. Fuck it. Who knows? Who knows? It's Bellingham. Who knows what's going to happen? So get your tickets to that show, 8 p.m., The Wild Buffalo, December 27th. I will be headlining December 27th. That's a Sunday night at 8 p.m. in Bellingham, Washington. Come out and see me there. And then you can see me at the Crocodile January 2nd with my boy T.J. Miller. I'll be there with him. Downtown Seattle, the Crocodile, January 2nd. And then January 8th through the 10th, I'm going to be, at the St. Louis Funny Bone in St. Louis, Missouri, at the Funny Bone, January 7th through the 10th. Come out and see me there. Love that club. Love that city. Come out and party with us. Also, tomorrow night in Los Angeles, I will be at the Laugh Factory at 10 p.m. Come out and see me. Laugh Factory in Hollywood, 10 p.m. show. Gonna be a blast. Come see me before I spit out of town for a couple weeks. Brad Williams, well, he's gonna be at Irvine Improv, Irvine, California, December 26th for two shows, 7 and 9. I was there with him last time. He sold him out on the 4th of July. It was unbelievable. But go see Brad the day after Christmas. Come on. You can't get more post-Christmas celebratory than with a fucking elf. So go do that. Go spend post-Christmas with Brad. He's working on his new hour that he's about to tape on January 16th in Glendale. So go see him work that out, baby, before he tapes it. December 26th, Irvine Improv, Irvine, California. 7 and 9 shows that night. And then you can see Brad on New Year's, December 31st. Through January 2nd at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go see Brad December 31st through January 2nd at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, North Carolina. Of course, Astoy merchandise. Of course, if you're trying to get some holiday gift ideas, go to AstoyMerchandise.com. Get all your ALN merch, mugs, shirts. We just got those Life My Life shirts in, of course, from the New Kids on the Block Cruise recap episode. Those are selling great. Ladies, thanks for picking those up. Get your Roni and the Quave shirts, your mugs. We've got About Last Night posters being made, which are going to be off the hook. So go to Astoy Merchandise, ESTOYmerchandise.com to get all your ALN merch. And give the gift of the ALN podcast for the holidays. You know, stocking stuffers, great gifts. Who doesn't want a Roni and the Quave shirt? Come on. And of course, keep listening to the podcast on iTunes, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. Click on the Amazon banner on that site when you're doing your shopping this holiday season. And Brad and I get a little kickback. Helps us to continue to put money into the pod. So many great guests coming up. I'm glad you guys really love that Black Christmas episode with Jaleel and Guy Tori. That was so fun to record. And I think we're probably going to do a part two. So that was a blast with those guys. We've got Rob Schneider coming up, Jason Alexander, Brody Stevens, Jason Reitman, who directed Juno Up in the Air, has a show on Hulu right now called Casual. He's going to come by. It's going to be fucking incredible. Our boy Brian Moses, a great comic here in LA, who runs the Roast Battle at the Comedy Store every Tuesday, which has become one of the most popular shows on the planet. He's going to stop by. We've got some more Best Of episodes coming your way. So many great episodes, so continue to subscribe on iTunes. Listen to the eps, enjoy them during the holidays, and have a great holiday. I mean, have a fucking great holiday. Take some time to be with family, be with the people you love, do what you love. Don't stress out, man. This is the time when everybody just collectively fucking chills out for a minute, and it'd be cool if we could, you know, carry out the vibes we do through the holidays into the rest of our lives. But let's do it for a couple weeks together. Now that we got all the tour dates out of the way, that's all the merch info. Those are the Twitter handles. So now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy, Russ Gutten.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Awesome. You know, I'm married.
High school dick. A shout out to 98 Dick.
Shout out to 98 Whiskey Dick, which of course was the name of my college band, 98 Whiskey Dick.
98 was a good year for Whiskey Dick.
98 was a great year in general. Where was Russ Gutten in 1998?
I graduated high school in 1998.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's right. You're a couple years on us.
Yes, thank you.
But you feel, but in spirit, you're 20 years younger.
No, in spirit, I am 50 years older
than
you.
Pull that mic towards you.
In spirit, I'm 50 years older than you.
You can pull it off the...
Because, no, I graduated in 98. And everyone I've graduated with pretty much has two kids by now. So I'm actually late as far as a real person is concerned to having kids. But as far as our world is concerned, I am actually, like, having kids real young at 35. You know, like,
Sam, what's going on?
Not getting anything, but...
Wait, in the headphones?
Yeah.
Let me see. No, let me see the light. Is it blinking or is it off?
This is going...
It's on. Put that on your... What do you mean you're not getting anything?
Oh, now it's coming in. I'm not, like, doing this as a bit.
Did you guys see that?
Now it's working.
Let me stop. Do you like where the mic's at? That's how Brad has it, but you can definitely flip it around. I don't know. So you're leaning over. You, like, pull it...
No, this is... I'm naturally...
Interchangeable. Hunchy.
But if you want to pull it up...
People might think I'm hunky. By the way, my voice sounds... I'm hunchy.
What I'm telling you is that mic was preset by a dwarf.
I don't know. I moved it around a little.
It's like if you got into a car that was driven by a dwarf, you would have to make some seat adjustments. Would you not?
Well, that's true.
I could just be uncomfortable.
Right. So that's what I want you to avoid in this instance. You can tilt it up.
I think you should put it right between your tits there, like your Lisa Ann. Just right there. There you go.
By the way, this couldn't be a more... It's so appropriate that this is three of the Jewiest guys in stand-up comedy. Like, that I'm very much like, well, make yourself comfortable with the mic. Could you tilt it up? You know, my friend John Brudnitsky, newest cast member of Saturday Night Live.
He's killing it.
Was just here last night. We were getting high. And he goes.
He's a public figure. I don't know if that's information that you could be sharing.
So he comments on the stair stepper that I recently purchased because
I want to exercise, but I don't want to have to put in any effort.
Yeah,
fuck you. I break a nice sweat. So what I told him is I go. Yeah, it's easy on my knees, and you know, LA Fitness. I was going there for that and some other shit, and I figured, you know, cut the cost, and I could do it. And then he just goes, so Jewish right now. He goes, you're such an old Jew. He goes, well, it's easy on my knees. And I saw it's a whole process to LA Fitness. You got to get up. You got to get in the car. You got to know where you're going. You know.
No, that's how I was.
Parking's a whole thing.
I know.
Every spot I think is open, there's a Fiat parked there, hiding behind the other cars.
I go to 24-Hour Fitness. I go to get a shake. It's a $9 shake. I try to work out three times a week. Who has $9 for three shakes three times a week?
I'm already paying $30 a month, $110 initiation fee one time, but
Sharon,
still.
Sharon wants the Pilates class. She wants Pilates. She wants the yoga. She wants the whole package. She wants to use the pool. She wants to use the hot tub. She wants to use the basketball court. I said, you don't even know what that is.
Let me tell you something. And then you know what she says to me? She says, I'm done at the gym. You want to go to Chipotle? I was like, bitch, we're not going to Chipotle. I just got you the fucking gym and the Pilates.
Nice. Yeah. That's when he's strangling his wife.
Test reel for John Renesco.
I'm being honest, though. I'm just...
So 1998, Russ. I want to get back to that for a second. And thanks for being here.
No, thank you for... Honestly, guys, thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is great. And Sandy, thanks for popping in for little Brad.
Yeah, no
He's
problem.
He's off to New York City.
What the fuck else did I have to do?
This is great.
I can...
No, but this is unbelievable.
But this is great, too, because... Yeah, you can swear. You can do whatever you want. Because this trifecta of people... Probably we all were starting at the same time when we met. Yeah. So that's why this is special.
Yeah. Well, definitely my West Coast stint when I started at the Comedy Store, when I really like recommitted to, you know, eating shit there and being there or whatever. Sandy, I kind of knew, but I was always a fan of Sandy. So I was excited to just sort of start to be friendly with him and do shows with him. And then you started doing the shows. We had you on the list because I used to run Friday Night Live every Friday for about 2 years.
The belly room at the world famous comedy store.
The most famous attic in all of comedy.
Yeah.
And
other than the comedy attic.
Yes. But I would say that
the belly room is legendary.
Are we going to split hairs here, dude? No. What do you call it? And then
I've got an ingrown hair we can split.
Here we go. Now I have a number of a podiatrist. You know what I mean? And he has offices in three regions.
My dad's a podiatrist.
Are you serious?
He drives a tow truck. He is a podiatrist. But he does not drive a tow truck.
I was going to say, times are tough for podiatrists.
He drives
Escape. I didn't know they were a foregone.
So does Adam.
Thank you. Yeah.
You drive a Ford Escape.
So does my wife. Whoa.
Does she really?
Whoa.
She's smart.
Well, my wife drives a CRV. Yeah.
The Ford Escape is a special club.
Yeah.
Although Well, I
great car. Love.
It
I'm
says
obsessed
I didn't get the
car.
House, but I do get most of my monthly salary. So I got this to express.
But I did get to escape. Ford Escape.
I escaped Lori. That's why I got this.
No, my last Ford Escape I had, you know, I had it from 05 till 2014, and it was.
I thought it was gonna. You were gonna drive that thing until the wheels literally came off.
And I was using my feet like Flintstones.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was committed to sticking with her because so many memories, so many trips, and it just was a good car. But then it just became so. The amount of repairs were substantial, but then it was more like the back bumper was being held on by bungee cords.
Yeah.
There were cashews stuck in the seatbelt.
You were a substantial part in a movie.
Yeah.
To be driving around in that car was a little bit silly.
Yeah, no.
Was that being discussed? It must have been. Yeah.
I never heard it
every
being discussed.
Now and then.
But I remember seeing you drive up in that car after the heat came out, and I was just like,
what are you doing?
I'm sure people are talking
about
this.
Yeah, D'Elia made the same comment about my shoes at one point. He goes, bro, you were in a movie, dude. You gotta step it up. And it made me. And then he goes, girls don't like it and fucking this and that. And I was like, he's like, just make a conscious, just think about it more. Because I was wearing just like old
girls
basketball
don't,
kicks.
Girls don't like getting fucked in Rockports.
No, they don't. No, don't. And don't go and get a Scion XB and think that that's going to get the ladies wet either, okay? That thing's a goddamn toaster on wheels. You can get it at aisle 6 at Best Buy, put fucking 4 wheels on. And,
all right, so you're starting the belt. Yeah, you
I met
me.
You doing that show, and you're wearing a Mariners hat. We talked about Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, it's a great icebreaker for any dude. Brian.
No, it was. And then one of my best friends from college is actually he grew up in Connecticut, but is also from Seattle.
That's
so.
Right.
And then I was doing a show in New York. I was taping a DVD. Sandy Danta was going to be there. I begged and pleaded for him to be on the show. I paid him $500,000 to do a 10-minute set.
Wow.
Check didn't clear, but it's
it
okay.
Didn't clear. It didn't clear. But I told him not to clear it until 2022. And
sure.
He asked if his friend Adam Ray could be on the show. And oh, yeah. I said, sure, no problem. But then that night, I was going to see my friends the Kin play.
Yeah.
You had run into, I guess, an ex-girlfriend who you definitely shouldn't have even been calling or talking to.
Yes.
Because you had a look on your face like you had seen a ghost whose vagina also was a ghost.
That was... wow. Ghost, vagina, vagina, ghost? Yeah, it was... That's right.
That's not a Slimer ghost.
By
no,
the way,
no.
That's crazy that I've talked about two of my exes already. Like, I'm going to have to talk about the third one and not in a positive light.
I think that this is going
to
be a spin-off podcast where you just talk about your
yes,
exes.
Yes, yes.
Will I interview them?
Yeah.
Bi-monthly?
It's going to be like the Adam Sandler sketch
and
from
you go to
Saturday
their hometown.
Night Live
with
where he's like...
Shannon Doherty?
Yeah.
That's the best. And he brings in
Chris. Hey, Denise.
And he goes, isn't part of the show where I call Denise and try to rekindle stuff. And he calls and she goes, hello. He goes, I'll kill you. And then she hangs up.
She's like, what? Hello?
And then
hello?
He hangs up.
I hate you.
Yeah. And then Farley comes in. He goes, this is my friend Kevin. He's going to tell us he recently saw Denise. So Chris Farley like waddles down the stairs and he sits down just all like disheveled. And he goes, so what's up, Kevin? He goes, oh, what's up, man? How you doing?
She was at the pizza place. She got a pepperoni. She was blotting it with napkins. I don't respect that move.
Okay, cool. Thanks for coming by, Kevin.
Yeah,
and then he would just leave. It was so quick. Anyway, so.
By the way, this is all I did during my childhood was just recap the sketches from Saturday Night Live.
At lunch the next day. Yeah, is that something we all did?
All right, yes. I did it for Ace Ventura. On the back of the bus, would recite every giant chunk because there were a lot of giant chunks of, you know, the whole speech when he's telling them that he's going to go find the dolphin, the whole when the guy opens the door with the gun in his face.
Yeah.
Right.
Movies and TV shows were my early material.
Yeah.
Well,
because you don't have a voice yet.
Right,
so you're just
reciting.
Who was your guy?
Well, I did, for all the black guys, I would do every sketch from In Living Color or
Me
I would
too.
Do Martin.
I would
if it was Wednesday,
do, yep,
I would do
both.
Martin because it was on, I think, Tuesday nights originally. And if it was Monday mornings, I would do In Living Color. And then
you
if
had a
it
whole
was,
schedule
and
for,
then
your,
if it, and
for
then,
your throwback bits.
And then after football, when we were waiting online, I would do Coming to America. I would do all the Eddie Murphy movies and things like
Dude,
that.
Dude, you were a recap show on the...
And then I got suspended. The best was I
Russ's
got...
Russ's recap.
That would be a great podcast for little kids to do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
If I was a sixth grader and podcasts were around... I would have probably had.
That's
one.
Funny that you say.
But it would be
grade.
Like,
welcome to Adam Ray's podcast, where we're going to be talking about South Park,
and Saturday Night Live.
No, you know what I used to do, though? I used to prank call the Seattle sports radio stations, tape them on a cassette, bring them on the bus, and play them on a My First Sony.
That's
like,
awesome.
I would call, because I would get through four times in a row and just change voices. Like, one time I'd call and go, hey, this is Ron from Bellevue. Yeah, I think we should trade Jay Buhner for a stack of hot dogs. The guy goes, what? Next. sometimes I would go, yeah, hi. So I'm a huge Mariners fan, and I just was wondering. And then I would, like, try to give actual analysis. I was like, it just seems that the bullpen really, we go to Jeff Nelson way too much, and it seems like that we should start using more left-handers because the matchups are just better, especially when we're on the road. And he's like, yeah, what's your name, kid? Christopher Robin. Christopher, thank you so much. From Winnie the Pooh, right? Yeah.
Oh, I see what you did there, kid, you little bastard. Yeah, I'm going to go cry myself to sleep in my Hyundai Elantra.
Wait, so I'm going to do something here. So yours was Farley. Mine was Ace Ventura. Yours was Martin Living Color. We're so all perfect. Going to pick the best we could do and recite as best, because as best you can, anything that you can do verbatim. Okay. Because I know that for a fact. I haven't done it since sixth grade. I just know that for a fact. It just, you know, because I found all a voice, right, and started doing my own material. But I don't know when, something that you haven't done in a while.
I did not, so it was very recent.
Something that you haven't done in a while that you're just going to go by muscle memory to recap here.
Who's going first?
I'll do Coming to America first. That's one. I would just walk up to the black house and be like, this is lovely. What is this, velvet? Ah, but he kicked Joel Lewis's ass. And I would do that in class, too.
That's amazing.
I did.
Did you do Eddie or Arsenio, too?
Yeah, I did everybody.
Actually, that was Eddie.
Oh, you once met Martin Luther King? He once met Martin Luther King. I once met him. And you know, they got good girls at church on Sunday. That's where the best girls are.
That's a fucking great Eddie Murphy for a white guy. For anybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Sandy.
Yeah, that's really good. Now I'm nervous to follow that. I used to do the scene in Billy Madison where Chris Farley is the bus driver and he stops Adam Sandler from while he is showing off that he's looking up Veronica Vaughn's skirt, and he goes, that Veronica Vaughn is one piece of ace. I would know from experience, dude, if you know what I mean. No, not me personally, but a guy I know. Him and her got it on. Woo-wee.
Oh, my God. Sandy
That's
Danto
verbatim.
So good.
No, they didn't.
He really does. Does Sandy Danto do the most haunting impressions, though, of everybody?
Yeah.
He really does. Real
but you
people.
Can imagine what it'd be going. Like if they did, huh?
Honestly, but huh? You do real people, too. That's what's scary.
I do mostly just dead and not famous
people. Admit marginalizing
comics. I'm working
comics
on that. Yeah. What about you?
All
what's
right.
Your...
So mine is from the scene at Ace Ventura. I'm trying to think of one that I can remember a chunk of. When he's with Tone Loke at the office, and he says, they're like, we got this. Or he goes, the guy goes, remember the big police chief that's giving him shit? And he goes, I heard you found the, or how are you going to find Snowflake? He's giving him shit, remember? And he's like, I heard you found the dog. Because Ifinger was like, was finding all these small animals, the pet detective, you know. And then he's going to go after Snowflake. So he's like... He's like, good luck, Ventura, something, something. Gives him all shit. Everybody laughs. And then he goes, what does he say? He says, good luck finding the dolphin. And he goes, it's not a dolphin. And then he goes, the common harbor porpoise, or Tursiao truncatus, has elongated beak, round cone-shaped teeth, and a serrated dorsal appendage. But I'm sure you already knew that. That's what I like about you. Your attention to detail.
Oh, my God.
Shit, man. That's just great. Chunks of that on the bus.
Yeah.
And then just the pussy would just fly.
Oh, the pussy just flying in.
Summer camp,
every
are
teacher,
you kidding
every
me?
Every teacher and bus
98
driver.
98 whiskey dicks just fucking double-fisted them.
So that was your early influences of comedy, yeah?
Well, I would say my early emphasis was watching Eddie Murphy Delirious when I was 7 years old with my best friend to this day, Jesse Palmer, in his attic where he lived just until 6 months ago when he got married. So,
oh shit,
that was that
very, very old country.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like he, no, I mean, like we weren't really sure that Jesse was ever going to not live in that attic. So, and believe me, I actually, once I knew that the end was coming, all of a sudden, like I was all gung ho about him meeting a girl, getting married, starting his life, and now like he was going to leave. And they were taking the comic, the frame comics off the wall. And I was like,
oh, shit.
You can't go, man. You guys can make a life of this here. You can make a go of it. You know, like, so I'm still not over my attic being taken away from me. But
I wouldn't be either.
Yeah.
First the belly room, now this.
I know. It's all the attics have been taken from me. So now it's just me and covered in baby piss and poop all the time.
Yeah. Wait, where did you grow up again?
I grew up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, yeah, right outside of Philadelphia.
Okay. So wait, so if you grew up in New Jersey but you rep Philly, is that a problem for people?
No, it isn't in South Jersey right there, because my house is 7 minutes from Philly. There's some Philly people like Eleanor Carrigan. Whenever the Eagles fans would come to see me in the belly room, she'd be like, you guys aren't from Philly. You're from Jersey, where we keep all our fucking Jews at. That's where, you know, or whatever. And, or whatever. So there's some people, but no, I mean, obviously, yes, I'm a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Yeah. And growing up in, I mean, just the Philly, what is that to grow up a kid in the 90s in Philly?
The best thing was that my uncle owned nightclubs back then. So in high school, instead of working at, like, a restaurant, I worked at the nightclub. I worked at Shampoo Nightclub. So
it was called Shampoo?
Shampoo, based on that movie in the 70s.
How like your nice. Old yeah. sketch.
What was...
yeah. And his other club was called Egypt.
How nice did your hair have to be to be
It had
in
to be
that,
really
to be
nice, especially on
club.
Saturday.
In Philly in the 90s, you kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah.
You're coming into Shampoo.
Anything less than what you got, and you're getting your neck slit.
On Saturday night was gay night, and we had a huge transvestite named Phoenix. He was 6'8". His name was Phoenix. He was black. He was a transvestite. And he used to come in to the dance floor on gay Saturday nights on a chair with a horse, but then assholes like me, after we were done handing out flyers, would have to clean up the fucking horse shit, you know, from the dance floor, and then like mop up the girl that was like throwing up on herself too, all to the same
Jesus.
Corner, you know what I mean?
Phoenix, what a name. Where is that?
I don't know. I heard Phoenix is dead.
In Arizona. I'm not sure if you know that.
Also, let me just throw in a gender specific, because I just go, where is that? Like, I meant, like, where is that guy or girl? But I don't know what she changed.
Phoenix, I believe, is dead, but I believe he died in jail because he stabbed someone. So.
Yikes.
Wait, it usually happens the other way around. Where you die from being stabbed.
No, no.
It's not typical
Phoenix,
that you stab
the Philly
someone.
Transvestite. He will stab you.
Unsolicited violence was his kryptonite.
Yes. Stab less ye be stabbed, I believe, was tattooed across it.
There's got to be so much stabbing happening in jail, by the way.
There is. Oh, yeah.
Like when I flip,
I say that.
But sometimes it's a term of endearment. Sometimes it's a way of showing affection,
I guess. All right. So he's one of
nightclubs. Philly in the 90s was awesome because there was the hip hop, there was all the drum and bass, there was 611 Records.
Were you way into hip hop?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, big time. I mean, of course. Of course.
I think most young Jewish boys are.
Young Jewish boys in Philly, especially.
There's just something about young, affluent Jewish guys that really. That hip-hop really spoke to for some reason.
You're being serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know what it was, but there was just something. For some reason, we related to the plight.
I think it was
that
me
we
because...
have nothing to relate to, but we really did. Yeah. I don't know what
I didn't mean to talk over you. I think it was me. I felt like a street Jew because all the other Jewish kids, their dads were doctors, but my dad worked at the Radio Shack in the mall.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was from the streets. You know, I was like a lower middle class Jew. No,
my dad was a doctor, but he was like one of the lower rung doctors.
Yeah, lower
rung. He wasn't like
doctor.
A gyno. He was a podiatrist.
But he didn't work at radio. He didn't work at like doctor.
No, he did that too.
He worked at radio.
Not enough
too.
People had foot problems.
So would he hook you? Your house must have been stocked with the finest electronics.
We still have. I still to this day. Yesterday,
you had a lot of
adapters. I was leaving for this trip. I had to go to my dad's house in Cherry Hill and be like, "Dad, do you have a cord for this? Do you have a car charger?" And he just goes into his garage because he retired like a boss, you know. And I think on his last day, he must have just taken one of the fucking reams in the back.
He pulled a Jerry Maguire, but he didn't take one fish. He took 16 DVDs.
We have an entire working Radio Shack in my father's garage.
retired to a radio condo in Florida.
No, there's a nice guy that works there, Omar, in the garage. He lives there. Anyway, he'll show you whatever fucking phone you want.
So he worked at Radio Shack. You worked for your uncle for the nightclubs.
I worked for my uncle for the nightclubs. And so it was cool in the 90s because you had the Roots before they were necessarily royalty everywhere.
Yeah.
And you had D'Angelo, you had Freeway. And then one of my friends I grew up with, Leon Huff Jr., his dad was Gamblin' Huff, who wrote Me and Mrs. Jones. So South Street Diner in Philly in the 90s, when you went there, was right down the street from where Gamblin' Huff would record.
Wrong guy. All good, all good, all good, all good.
Right down the street from all the clubs. And you would walk into the South Street Diner, and there would be the Roots at one table, D'Angelo at the next table, three of the Phillies, four of the Eagles. So it was very, very cool. I would say it's a little different now. It's a little bit of a younger town, you know?
So many paper towels.
Oh, my
Russ,
God.
Russ spilled his drink.
I spilled my tequila, but
I've never seen a father, someone who has children, respond so calmly to a spill. I've only seen fathers be like, God damn
move,
it.
Move.
Oh,
move.
Fuck. You need to be more careful, you little son of a bitch.
I'm so sorry.
Might,
I'm so sorry.
Tequila too. Keep in mind, you know.
I just spilled my tequila. Everybody, but keep in mind, this is the first time I've been around two other single guys for an extended period of more than 20 minutes outside of a comedy club.
Look at that. That's a fancy ice cube.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't want to take it. I thought it was too fancy of an ice cube.
Well, guess what?
I said, this ice cube is making Are We There Yet 3. This is a fancy ice cube.
That's an O'Shea Jackson.
For a reason. You spilled your tequila.
I spilled my peasant ice. You spilled your Radio Shack ice. What kind of fucking Jew has a dad that works at Radio
Shack? A bottle of Milagro.
Oh, my God. Wow. Jesus.
Open it up. Pour some in there. Let's have some Cuervo. But you got to keep – here, I'll open it. You keep talking. So
it was really cool.
You're into hip-hop. What else are you into as a kid in Philly? And I'm curious, at what point does comedy come into play or just entertaining? Because I know your entertainment journey did not start with comedy.
Well, I always wanted to be a comic, but I got really into drugs when I was in junior high school. So I started freebasing like cocaine like at 14 years old.
Holy shit.
And I was like a kid who was given Ritalin and all that stuff for years, but I started snorting all the stuff they were prescribing me, and then I started, you know, going further than that. So I was really young to be doing that.
I thought I was bad as
well. Yeah. I was going to say real quick, I feel like I'm the only one at this table that missed the boat on the drug revolution of the 8th grade, 7th grade, whatever you, because I didn't even smoke pot till sophomore year in high school. I had my first drink in 8th grade when I did the summer stock play, and I was the youngest of all these kids who were in high school and a few in college, and my first drink ever was a triple tequila shot that I pounded because everyone chanted my name in the 8th grade. And I was like, I seemed a little bit older too. I think I just grew up quick, and I was, you know, tall.
Even in 8th grade, Adam's voice was like this.
No, it was still about this. Well, hey, I did start shaving in 6th grade. So, not my face, my pubes. And, not both. And so, just my face. And then, took the shot. It just burned. That's all I remember. It just burned.
Then
I was like, fucked up. Just hammered. So anyway, that made me not want to do it again for a long time. And then pot became very, that just seemed fun. But so what about, for you guys, like how do you fall into the freebasing coke?
Well, yeah, I mean, I smoked pot in sixth grade, and then I would say
so it is
I
a gateway drug.
Me too.
Yeah, I was doing that.
I started taking guitar lessons in fourth grade, and I would say that was the gateway drug to smoking pot.
Because then you're listening to all these songs, and you're like,
guitar lessons are.
Because then I listened to then I saw these documentaries about the bands that I like, and it was like, and they would smoke marijuana. And
are you serious?
Mushrooms and LSD. I'd be like, well, that's what I got to do.
Like who? Like the Goo Goo Dolls?
Like. Like my sixth grade research paper was about the Grateful Dead. And so I learned all about how they, you know, did acid and mushrooms and smoked weed. And I was like, well, naturally, this is what I need to be doing if I ever want to be good at guitar. And so I started smoking weed then and couldn't get my hands on mushrooms until high school.
Your mom was so bummed you didn't pick up the bassoon.
That only leads to snacks.
Snacks and charity work.
No, but
do you guys want to buy some of these candy bars so I can go to band camp this thing? Actually, you want to know how degenerate of a kid I was? The band kids would always sell candy bars in school. And so I saw that, and I made my parents take me to Costco. I got the candy bars, and I sold it for less than they sold it. And I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I'm trying to raise money for charity, and then I used that money to
and
buy weed, and then
the
I started selling
point.
Weed.
Unbelievable. Honestly, I'm proud of you. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
Look at you, the bargainer.
I was a little Jewish entrepreneur.
A little businessman. What do you say in your act? You got to fake it till you make it, baby. When Sandy does his 60s, like club owner, business guy, agent, like Hollywood.
Going to take you straight to the top. You're going to be hanging out with the likes of Lindsay Lohan. Her butthole's the hepatitis.
You got a great act, kid. You got a great act. It's
you're
a real act.
You're going to be a star.
Sandy, I feel like you have, if you come back in a second life, it'll be as a Hollywood agent from the 60s or the 50s. And you'll rep clients like Fred McGriff.
Going to own the Chuckle Bone in St. Louis, and you're going to tell everybody that you're going to unlock a lot of doors.
Humphrey Bogart. No, not Humphrey Bogart, but, you know, it's his...
Liam Neeson's.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right, so, well, that's incredible. So
Sylvester Stallone, $20.
Wait, so he does puns about his...
Hey, wow. Hey, somebody... Frank, we're going out tonight. Hey, you better write a song about this one,
Al Pacino takes his backsies.
All right, so how do you freebase cocaine? Who brings this up?
I say freebase or whatever. I don't know if I'm using the term correctly, but I was sorting cocaine and Wellbutrin or whatever. Freshman and sophomore year, I got arrested a lot, all that stuff, and then... I sort of got recruited to switch high schools in Cherry Hill. The East High School had a really big theater program. They did 8 shows a year. They toured L.A.
So theater's where it all started.
So they saved me, I guess, from that and from myself.
Dude, isn't it amazing how it is, like, the arts are just, you know, it sounds cliche or whatever.
Once you find something you want to focus your energy on.
That's what it is.
You can be constructive.
And all
but before that, you're completely destructive.
Yeah.
And you're also just so aloof, and you have no idea what – you just want to be – you don't know – also, with theater and stuff, like, I don't know what each of our experiences were that led us into that world, but it's like – it's not like they – there's not some sort of, like, school fair when you're in second grade where they're like, and in high school there's theater and there's this and that. You see plays, and you somehow just, like, get your own interest toward it, but you doing it really just – when theater kids, too, are all about it, so you're not like –
yeah.
1 foot in, 1 foot out. So,
and I always wanted to do it. I wanted to be a comedian from the time I was 4. I told my mom when I was a kid all the time I wanted to be a comedian. I got suspended in second grade for repeating Bobcat Goldthwait's material from his Showtime special at the talent show. And it was when he had like he was
unbelievable.
Yeah. And I did a killer Bobcat Goldthwait, but then they thought I was going to do stuff from like Police Academy, but then I started doing like his Showtime special material, which if you've ever seen Bobcat Goldthwait, who, by the way, is one of the most badass, especially in the 80s out of Boston. I mean,
wasn't he?
This was a guy who just like made everyone look like they were doing nursery school material.
Can you back off that mic for a minute and give me a little of...
I was doing... I was watching this commercial with Nancy Reagan. And I had a gun in my hand and a pile of coke. And she said, just say no.
You know, or whatever.
You
I can't
did that
do it
in the
well.
Second
that,
grade.
Yeah, wow.
I can't do it as well
but
now.
But to suspend Russ, you for that, I mean, that's really more of a...
jealousy thing.
Yeah.
Where the principal's like, fuck, that kid's better than I'll ever be at anything.
Everyone was liking it, because at first I was just like doing the voice, and then I was like, gun in my hand, pile of coke, Nancy Reagan saying, just say no, and I forget what the punchline is, but like I did that famous Bobcat Goldthwait bit.
And kids don't know that, so they're just laughing at the funny voice.
And they're laughing at the voice, and the teachers are like, oh, fuck. The gym teacher, of course, was into it, you know.
Yeah.
The 80s gym teacher, of
dude,
course,
every
Brian
gym
Callen,
teacher.
Brian Callen's into it, you know.
Dude, every gym teacher, and we can go around the room talking about all of our gym teachers. My high school gym teacher's name was Mr. Suplin. He was also the baseball coach and would get high as fuck before every health class and literally go walk in and be like, all right, so, shit, I don't know, man. Like, you got to eat good. Like you got veggies and shit. Like just don't get super fucked up and just eat pizza all the time.
I had a driver's ed teacher who was drunk all the time.
Jesus.
Like you could smell it on him. He was definitely drinking in his car.
What was
like,
his name?
Yeah, I forget. It was like, use your turn signal, kids. You know, like
my driver's ed teacher was blind. And yeah. Like the guy who taught
was
the class.
Was your barber bald?
No, but the guy, okay, it was a separate guy who went on the road to teach you, obviously, because they can't have a blind guy driving. And the guy who they had going on the road with me fell asleep every time I would drive with him.
Because you were so safe.
My God.
No, because he was so narcoleptic. I was a terrible driver.
Oh, so God. Wait, so then he would wake up and you'd be like face down in a ditch and he was like, you passed.
I'll pass you if we don't tell anybody about
I haven't
this.
Seen driving like that before in my life.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
No,
What were we talking about?
No, my wife told me to make sure I listen. Make sure I don't talk over
people. For real?
Because I get really excited.
You do. But I think you're good at that.
You're talking about Bobcat.
That's right.
I always wanted to be a comic, but then.
So they suspended you.
Well, they suspended me. And then, like I said, I was always a bad, like a kid who had trouble or whatever. So then once it's junior year, I switched that high school.
What do you mean trouble?
Just I've always had emotional problems. He's fragile. He's very fragile. Yeah. You know, just violently freaking out. I went to spaz camp when you've seen my stand-up. I went to spaz camp, which was a camp for kids with the ADHD.
Wow.
And then there were other more like handicapped, like
Called spaz camp.
No, it was called rat
camp. There was a picture of Tasmanian devil on a t-shirt.
There was only one activity. It was a moon bounce. And you had to wear a helmet and boxing.
Yeah, like I said, every activity was only 15 minutes long. So you got a lot done in a day. You had arts and crafts, swimming. And it was called Round Lake Camp because every kid generally just ran around.
You did a lot in a day, but nothing got accomplished.
Nothing got done. And also, you weren't allowed to have sugar and artificial flavors and stuff like that because it made every kid like me hyper.
So much withdrawal.
So I was running an underground, of course, prison network of selling candy.
Like in Heavyweights.
Yeah, at the spaz camp. I totally loved that part of that movie.
Remember when they pull out the bottom of the bunk bed and there's all the snacks?
I was that kid. I was like, what do you need? Twix? You need fucking Milky Ways? I got that shit.
Paul Fee.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then, so once I switched high schools junior year and I actually got taken into this theater program, I started doing 8 shows a year and blah, blah, blah. I got a scholarship to AMDA, which was a musical theater conservatory.
So you were good.
Yeah. And then I did my first set of stand up when I was 19 in 1999 at Caroline's. And 300 people showed up to see me, everyone I'd ever known.
Everyone drove up.
Everyone drove up. And also, my family was originally from New York. So I just had so many people there. And
Was Phoenix there?
Phoenix wasn't there, but a lot of the staff from Shampoo was there. It was so funny that you say that.
Please tell me
but
give a shout out.
Coincidentally, they were all alumni of university.
Yes. Then it just sort of went from there. And then I went to school for theater.
Wait, I want to hear more of the theater days, though, just because that's such a big part of my life.
Oh, well, I did tons of musicals. Like senior year, I was the Nazi in Cabaret.
Yeah.
Is it 6 o'clock?
It's 5 to 6.
Where are you going to move it?
You edit this?
You know what? Sit down. If you get a ticket, I'll pay for it.
Because I'm parked right there, too.
Yeah.
You sure?
And I think you're going to be fine. But I don't want to break the flow.
Because Dara will yell at me.
We've got 30 more minutes. Do you have to move it?
I think so.
Or they tow it?
Yeah, it says there's parking until 6. I'll be right
back. I'm just parked right out in front of your building.
I'll park in front of the building.
Go park in front of the building. We'll keep going. Is that all right?
Yeah, it's fine. As long as Dara has that on record. Dara, you heard Adam say that.
So, okay. So,
Whatchamacallit?
Musicals were the go-to.
South Pacific, all that stuff. But then I was doing plays, too. And then I wrote and directed a play for the one-act festival. And that's when I knew I wanted to write and direct as well and do stuff like that. But the best ones, you'll love this. Cherry Hill, New Jersey is one of the densest Jewish populations in the country and in the world. Just that region. There's 5 synagogues within a few miles. There's the 3rd largest JCC in the country. I was in Jewish Youth Group, which is a huge Jewish fraternity.
Me too, yeah.
Were you in AZA?
Yeah.
BBYO?
Yes.
You were in AZA?
That sounds really familiar.
Olive Zadig Olive was the male.
That sounds really familiar.
And then BBG were the girls.
Yes.
And B'nai B'rith Youth Group was the organization. Yes. I was president of McCor Shalom, chapter number 2098.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And I was kicked out of Spring Thing for having a quarter ounce of weed on me. Thank you.
So
you know it.
All young Jewish kids smoke. That might be where I first
I couldn't. I was like, it's a convention of Jews in the woods. I thought I was supposed to bring wood. Yeah. weed, not wood. Bring wood and oil.
Isn't that what's great, too, about like those camps? It's like camps are great because you do grow up in a sense, but it's still so juvenile and everyone's still so... But there's still the awkwardness of any sort of like with the different groups, but people kind of come together a little bit more at camp.
Well, almost. Yeah, and also the counselors. You know what I love about Wet Hot American Summer is that the counselors, once the counselors, the kids go to sleep, it's their time to grow and to have these formative years of their life.
Yeah.
I never really experienced that. Like, I went to a lot of camps, but I never really got to go back to those camps and be a counselor. Not that anyone would want to be a counselor at Spaz Camp. I don't know what work program. I don't know what like work for parole program those assholes got. Actually, Adam, you'll love this. You know how I learned how to do all the accents and the voices was that a lot of the counselors that they would convince to be counselors at Spaz Camp were people who were earning their work visas. So all of my counselors were Scottish, and not like Braveheart Scottish. I mean like regular Scottish. So when they woke up in the morning, they'd be like, "It's time for breakfast. Take your fucking riddle and your goddamn spazzes. And don't eat all the fucking pancakes before I get down there." You know, or whatever.
Are you kidding me?
And then, yeah, and then.
Scottish, who else? I mean, there was just...
Then we had British. So the first time that I did stand up for real was not the Bobcat Goldthwait thing, was at Spaz Camp, which of course is my target audience. And I did it at 9 years old. And
did you have jokes about being
Spaz? It was all about being at Spaz Camp, but it was about dealing with these counselors who I don't understand.
Oh, my God,
because they would walk into your bunk at night. They'd be like, "Oi, put out your torch." And I'd be like, "It's not working." You know, like a little... And, of course, all the spazzes would be like, you know, every joke worked. Every joke killed.
Dude, so you would just hear these accents and the way they would talk and just, like, absorb everything.
Just like the TV, I would be able to repeat anything I hear on the TV, anybody I would hear and...
So they had a Spaz talent show.
They did. They had Spaz talent show. But I would sing.
Wasn't very long.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was mostly the counselors.
Okay. That they would perform.
They would perform.
So did you sing at all at this Spaz?
I would sing. You know, my mom went to school for musical theater and was a classically trained singer. So I've been a singer forever. I was always a singer. Even when I was very, very little, my mom would take me to things and blah, blah, blah. And she was a seamstress in musicals, so I'd be in the chorus. And
oh, my God. Do you remember what any musical specifically?
King and I... resonated. Peter Pan. Yeah, anything where they can, like, anything where I wasn't that nationality and they were going to definitely offensively paint the child that way to seem as if they were in that chorus, I was in that musical.
Peter Pan was a big one. That's, Peter Pan I think, was for a big any one. Kid. I remember that. I saw that Peter Pan, I think, TV musical.
Yeah.
With the
Oliver is a big one with lots of kids. I did that one. I did Gypsy. I did Annie. I did every show.
And you wrote a musical, right?
I wrote a musical called Gangstapella, which is my favorite thing in the world, Gangstapella.
Combining two of the most opposite things in the world, gangsters and a cappella music.
That's right. Yeah, well, and Sandy will appreciate this, and you, I think you too, Adam, is that I went to school for musical theater. I graduated very high in my class. All of them are all on Broadway now. Every single one who graduated and really went for it, they went into musical theater. And we know, just like stand-up, that's a 16-year journey of doing cruise ships and national tours and never seeing your family. So I wasn't interested in that. I wanted to be a comic. But I did want to do a Broadway musical, and I know my mom has always wanted me to do that. So I wanted to write a musical that I can do, but I can also smoke weed, say fuck, slap bitches, get money. And the people from Philly who I grew up with wouldn't be like, you know,
this guy's a fag.
You go to New York, I wear your short shorts. So what, did you wax your fucking tape, you know, before you wrote your musical? Tell your vagina to text me, you know, what you call it. So Gangstapella was a way of taking all these musicians and musical theater actors and putting them into a musical, but that was more R-rated. And so we ended up running for a bunch of months in a row, and then we ended up opening for all these cool bands, and then that band you met with me, The Kin. We would open for them.
How long was the show?
Well, after we did the musical, which was like an hour, like black box theater, sort of structured improv musical, not improv, but structured sort of musical, we would just do like 3-song or 2-song sets opening at different rock clubs.
Kind of giving a little tease of being like, hey,
Knitting Factory, Cine, you name it, at cool rock club, we would open for.
How would these audiences, because any sort of opener, like even a comedian sometimes, like, you know, just doing this New Kids on the Block cruise, I was a little apprehensive being like, they're here for them, like, and I'm going to be doing something completely different. But it was great because they were just so like, oh, cool, entertainment, more something different. So I'm assuming that these bands' audiences were like that.
Well, they didn't at first. I mean, the cool thing about Gangsta Pella is that it's still like it's my version of Tenacious D or Spinal Tap, and that's what I always wanted to have. So we generally will come out, do a song, get everybody kind of to get with it, and then it always really just deteriorates into an argument and pistol whipping and fighting and all that. It always deteriorates into us getting into a fight and then making up and then doing a song together.
So great.
Out of it. So because we all knew each other, after a while, we didn't really have to, you know, rehearse too much or whatever. But then once I moved to Los Angeles, it became harder. Then it was almost an animated series, and that took about 2 years of development, and then that didn't work out.
Then Color Me Bad tried to sue you for the rights. Then Color Me Bad
tried to sue me for the rights.
So The Kin, was that one of your favorite groups that you met and became friends with?
Yeah, they actually, how I learned to do Australian is because they're two Australian brothers, and they're like, they sing harmony, and now they've been opening for Coldplay, and they're like Coldplay, except they're like two guys, basically.
They were incredible, and here's how incredible they were, and we touched on this briefly at the start with, I had met up this night when I think it was the same 4 days when we did the show for your DVD
taping.
Right,
and he asked for you to be on the show, and I said yes, and I ran into you that night.
Yeah. And I had met up with my ex, right, who lived out there still.
Right.
And my ex from college, and we...
I was eating next to Rockwood Music Hall.
Yeah.
I was eating the gluten-free pizza they have next door.
Yeah.
And outside, and I saw you, and I said, Adam, it's me, it's Russ. And you looked...
Can you describe the look on my face?
Like I said, you looked like you had seen a ghost's vagina.
Well, dude, keep in mind, this is
a ghost's vagina.
So this is an ex of mine who we ended... Yeah. She, you know, things ended sourly because, you know, hey, sometimes you get lonely and you fuck another dude. But
enough about Adam.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
No, so she, so I hadn't seen, so feelings, there was never really closure. But enough time had gone by to where at least a year where I was like, I think I can see her now. And she'd gotten in, she was doing grad school out there and working for the news and NBC. And we met up and it was really great because emotions had been able to be put aside, I thought. And then we had like dinner and a couple drinks. And then she left and I went to go meet up with you. So I'm coming, it was just the first time I'd like, been around her since things had, and it just stirred up so much shit and made me like, and then I'm in New York where I was doing, you know, I would fly back and forth working at Universal for 3 years. I would spend my Wolverine money on tickets to New York and go back and forth like twice a month for 3 years. So like New York was what New York was to me. The only time I'd been in New York before that was in 10th grade for my 10th grade Hebrew school trip that our rabbi took us on and said, watch us. He told us, he goes, don't get too far behind and keep your hands on your butts because they'll steal your wallets. Shabbat shalom. And I was like, what? What's going on? New York,
and you're
New
like,
York.
Rabbi, I don't have a wallet. Yeah. I'm fucking 10.
Yeah, I'm 10. So that was New York. So my New York experience was all my ex-girlfriend. So now all the memories come flushing back because I see her there. And it was just so – that's – you saw me
so
fresh off.
So you saw
off.
Me, and then I said, Adam, what's wrong? You know, you sat down, you start laying this on me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's gonna be okay. Now listen, my exact words to you were, I go, listen, Adam, the one thing you can count on,
very soothing,
in times like this is music. And luckily for you, my friends are playing next door. That's why I'm here. Let's go see them. And it was packed. And when I tell you packed, it was their second stage, so it was the smaller side room they have, where the bar is.
Yeah.
But now, of course, now they're playing arenas all over the world and all this stuff. And we used to play coffee shops together, me and them, double bill, in a coffee shop the size of this table. Like, so we go in, and Adam's looking around. And he's like, okay. There's girls everywhere, especially Australian girls and blonde girls, America, like, because they love these guys. And then me and Adam sort of sneak into the middle, kind of near the stage. And I'm watching, you know, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, Isaac just goes, I want to take a minute, say hello to the legend, Russ Gutten there.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
Like, right in the middle of the set. And Adam, like, looks at me. And, of course, I'm trying to play it cool. Like, I knew I was that cool. Like this whole time, you know what I mean? Because I try to tell you guys all the time that I'm always like, I'm like a little kid. Like I always want everybody to like me and be my friend. And I always feel like everybody thinks I'm like awkward or something. And so it was like the coolest thing that ever happened. And so Adam's looking at me like, what? And I was like, Yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, you know. Yeah, man. You know. Chest
swelled up.
Of course, inside, and I can tell you this now to your face. Inside, I'm like, yes.
Of course.
Yes, I look cool in front of Adam, and Adam's cool, and everyone at the comic store thinks Adam's cool, and everyone's starting to think I'm kind of cool, and Sandy likes me, and Sandy thinks Adam's cool, so maybe they'll think I'm cool.
Yeah, but guess what? I already thought you were cool. But guess what? I'll be straight up. Yeah, man. In my head, I go, fucking Russ knows the Kin. The Kin just gave a shout out to Russ. And this band is possibly the reason that's going to get me over my emotional turmoil after having feelings pop back up after seeing my ex who cheated on me, but I still might be in love with
her.
Now I'm listening to two Australians harmonize and feeling okay about life again. Thank you, Papa Russ.
That's what I thought.
And then the next night was the show, right?
And then the next night was the show, which, by the way, I just actually...
Wait, real quick. I want to say, though, I listening to how beautiful these men's voices were, and just you put me a little bit at ease with just, you know, you're going to be all right. You were very just Jewish mother in that moment. And then this group, they played like... It was such a beautiful song that, like... It helped to bring to calm me down, but it also just like
Abraham.
Heightened the emotions because it was so. It was almost like I heard them singing like, "It's gonna be okay, Adam. Yeah. It's okay that you still love her. Being in New York's gotta be crazy again. Don't think about her too much, 'cause it's gonna end terribly."
Just listen to your friend Russ.
Yeah,
he's gonna make you feel okay. We're gonna harmonize about your feelings. You're gonna feel the same that you did yesterday.
Dude, it was that beautiful, and I was like, yeah, it was that beautiful. And so then I texted her and was like immediately like it was almost like, and I wish they would have seen me and been like, don't text her now. That's a bad idea. So I'm just going straight to the phone and I'm like, it was so great seeing you today. I go, I'm at this bar, and then I basically just pulled such a fucking emotional
move. I didn't
move
know you did that.
Where I was like, I had this bar and the band is so great, and I'm thinking of, like, and just
I
being here.
I did that to keep you from doing that, and
I'm
now
like,
I know.
Oh no, being no, end of the story nothing was gonna hold me that. Back from sending an emotional text.
Nothing's gonna stop me now.
Emotional regretful text.
Wait, what was that? Wait, hold on. That's
from
Step by Step. No,
no, I think
Perfect
Strangers.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing's gonna.
Yeah, stop me now. And then the harmonica or the sax?
Yeah, it's. I think it's a sax.
Wow, 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 wow. It's a harpsichord. Yeah. It's a digital harpsichord.
All right, I've heard better digital harpsichord impressions, but we get the point, right?
Actually, no, what's so funny is that you say that. You know, when I saw you open for Adam Devine in Philly, he did that great bit about his audition for Pitch Perfect and how he wasn't really a singer, so he ended up
He thought it was a baseball movie.
Right, he thought it was a baseball movie.
He thought he was going to be out there being like the wisecracking catcher that was like, throw it up, throw him a curve. Throw him a curve. He won't see it coming.
Yeah. And so he ends up doing the Family Matters song as his audition. And that's funny because you know what I used to do is that I didn't used to have a ballad for a few years because I had lost my music book, so I didn't have all my arrangements. So I used to just sing the Perfect Strangers song as a ballad in auditions.
Do you know it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know if I'm prepared to do it as beautifully, but I could do it a little. But
yeah.
I was so mad because I love that bit of Adams, and I was like, oh, I can never use that bit. But
why?
Because I do more as a ballad, like, sometimes the world looks perfect. Nothing can be arranged. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. You know, like... And
Dude, I saw you mime playing the piano right there.
Yeah, well, because I do the Jason Robert Brown, you know, because I know you know him, and that freaks me out. Because I listen to him every day. So I would do that at an audition. And one time I actually got the call back off of it.
Holy shit.
So I love the Perfect Strangers
song. The Perfect Strangers song is so great. So many of... And I know that people from this decade feel the same way. And people that don't just don't get it. But if you go back and compare the theme songs of yesteryear, and I mean the 90s, to now, it's like night and day.
Well, they don't even do theme songs now. They just do that they do like a little bit of music or something, like 30 Rock does.
Yeah, just a little bit of music. I mean, it's just like, I mean, Family Ties, that's one of Sandy and I's favorite. I mean,
I bet we've been together for a million years. And I bet we'll be together for a million more. Oh, it's like I started breathing on the night we kissed. What would we do, baby, without us? What would we do, baby, without us? Sha-la-la-la.
Wait,
nothing's better than the sha-na-na-na.
Ain't no nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Also, they're being sketched.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Remember, that's amazing.
That was amazing. And especially back then, people could do that on their phones nowadays. That was an impressive effect.
Yeah. That was an amazing effect.
Actually,
The Growing Pains one might be one of the best because of the harmonies. Again, musically, it's like, who are these people singing? I think it was like the person who sang the Beauty and the Beast sound song. Like those.
Well, Alan Thicke wrote Growing Pains, Different Strokes, and...
What?
Alan Thicke wrote the theme song to Growing Pains, Different Strokes, and...
So Robin Thicke gets his musical talents from Alan Thicke.
I've actually written
for Alan Thicke. Used to hang out at the Comedy Store back in the day.
Yeah, and I've written for him. Honestly, he's actually a really funny dude.
I gotta get him on this podcast.
Yeah.
You'd have Alan Thicke here.
Oh, God.
I got a message from him once, and it said, "Hey, Russ. Alan Thicke here." You didn't have to say that, dude. It says Alan Thicke on the fucking...
He did have to say
it. No, he did.
Alan Thicke, I would always speak in first
person. Yeah. I needed him to do that. You know what the best theme
Alan
song was?
Alan Thicke wants his burger medium rare.
Show me that smile. Oh, show me that smile. Alan, don't waste another minute on your crying.
Alan Thicke likes tapas because they're small portions of delicious. No, you know what the best theme song is, though? And it's on TV One twice a week, was Mr. Belvedere. Do you remember Mr. Belvedere?
He likes drinks on the corner. Never
happened before. Who came?
And the wall stayed the jacket. There's never before. No one glad. As old death is stand bonus stand and Boston that's down a new arrival. Life is more than mere survival. Looks like we might get the good life yet. Ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding. Wait, I need that one more time for video. Because I just watched a guy with a giant Star David and a tank top cross his eyes and imagine wearing a top hat and sing the Mr. Belvedere theme song.
Me and my wife love Mr. Belvedere.
Drop kick the jacket. Never happened before. Who cares? I'll fan the jacket. Never happened before. No one glad. And it was that this and bonus and Boston man. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. Looks like we might live the good life yet. Ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding. This spaz moment brought to you by Milagro. Dude, that was, I mean, hey.
It wasn't my best.
No, you know
it
what?
Wasn't my best. I couldn't get down there. I couldn't get down there, but that's how that guy sounds.
Do you sing in your stand-up?
I have started to a little bit, yes. I used to a bit, and...
Do you sing to your kids?
Yes, every day.
Yeah.
Every day. As a matter of fact, it's funny that you mentioned that. My new daughter, Sophia, who is a month old.
Cheers.
Who's L'chaim. A month old, just a few days L'chaim, over a month old. L'chaim, my beautiful Sophia Beatrice.
Son's name is?
Rocco Giovanni. They are pizza bagels. My wife is Italian Guinea. I am a Jew. Rocco is four. He's the man. But Sophia, she's a baby. I sing the Lion King musical to her every day because it used to calm Rocco down. And not just calm him down. It calms him down and puts him to sleep. But I don't know if it's the African drums or everything, but it just like kids like it.
From the original soundtrack.
No, the Broadway musical I sing. So I sing all of the operetta parts or whatever for Sophia. But I also do all the chorus chants.
Oh,
and I turned
God.
To Darren and I said, you know what? I'm a little nervous because I think Sophia thinks we're African. You know, and I think her first words are going to be like, Achanye, that's a man and a mees and a mana.
Hey, in a perfect world, those will be her first words.
Yeah, Azabunas and a bee. You know, like, you know, but yeah, no, I love singing to the kids. And actually, I sing a lot of musicals to them. The only problem is that all of my favorite musicals are usually where, like, a Jew wrongly accused of murder in post-Civil War Georgia is killed, or...
Yeah, you can't sing the opening number to Gangsta Pella.
Yeah, or like A New Brain. Like, I love A New Brain, which is a William Finn musical. It's about a gay guy who has a brain tumor who's going to die and doesn't know if he can commit to his boyfriend, and all of these, like, sad, horrible
things. Yeah, but when they're that age, they don't know.
Yeah, so I'm singing this song, and then Derek goes, is that song about how he's going to die during his surgery?
What's wrong with
day?
Rubber Ducky? Can you chill with the AIDS musical?
She's like, maybe you don't sing Rent to him, you know? Like,
yeah, but maybe do. And I don't think there's enough dads singing to their kids, quite honestly. Yeah.
I have a friend that grew up doing musicals, and now he's in politics, but I hung out with him last time I was back home in Michigan.
Ben Carson?
Yes, I went to high school with Ben Carson. How'd you know? But he records himself singing on his iPhone, and he plays it for his baby in the car.
Oh, that's neat. That's actually a good idea.
I was just going to say, you might want to think about it.
Well, because I already had to do it
over... Not having to strain your vocal cords.
Well, I had to do it over video phone today. I sang to her today.
Nice.
Because she really does expect me to do that.
How is this the longest you've spent away from them in a while?
This is the longest I'm going to spend away. Yeah, being away for a week from my family is a new thing.
What is that like? Describe what you're going through right now.
I'm not... I know I shouldn't worry about my wife because she's the reason that I'm here
she's
and dressed and have clothes and all my everything. I just, you know, I feel bad because I feel like she has to do it on her own, but she doesn't because that's why we moved home. She has her mom down the street,
Great. My
parents 20 minutes away, and I know he has all kinds of activities this week, so I know that they really went out of their way to, like,
make sure daddy's not the absence.
Yeah, make sure he's busy and everything, but, you know, I do the drop-offs in the morning. I do the pickups in the afternoon. Yeah. I'm really Michael Keaton, Mr. Mom, during the day. And then I put on my bat suit. I get in my black Ford Focus, which is a Batmobile to me. The world sees a Ford Focus, but I see a Batmobile. And I get...
Hey, so when did Russ lose his mind? Well, I told everybody he was driving the Batmobile.
It's Ford Focus, bro.
It's just a bad mobile.
It has Bluetooth, okay? It has Bluetooth.
He keeps calling Commissioner Gordon. I thought his kid's name was Rocco.
Rocco.
He calls his father-in-law Commissioner Gordon.
Wait, didn't you and your son dress up like Spider-Man together or something? Show me some
picture. We were Batman and Robin here. I'll get...
This is a podcast. The picture's not going to...
Oh, yes. He's Teen Titans Go Robin.
Please pull it out and show Sandy
if
you want.
Yes. Can you do it in... what's the code for the computer so people can imagine it?
At Ruskin.
0110.
Oh, 0000001.
Binary code.
Yeah, there's a picture of me actually.
On your Instagram.
On my Instagram of me and Rocco dressed as Batman and Robin impatiently waiting for our smash burger the other day. Because we did a special Halloween. We went to our family's houses and trick-or-treated.
Great idea.
Because I wasn't going to be there for the real Halloween.
What's the Instagram where people can see that?
At Russ Guttin, RusGutin. Yeah. And that's where I'm at on Twitter and all those other things, RussGutin.com.
Where did Papa Russ come from?
You know, at the Comedy Store in my stand-up, I started calling myself Uncle Russ.
Yeah.
And it was getting a laugh, and then that started to stick, and then I sort of became an uncle in a way because I was running the show, all these shows, and giving everybody spots, and everyone was like, Uncle Russ, can I pop in? And then it sort of became a thing. But then when I found out I was going to be a dad, I went to the Comedy Store that night. I remember sharing it with all my friends, and I think it was Tony Hinchcliffe, to be honest.
Papa Russ.
I think he goes, you're not an uncle anymore. You're a papa now. And I said, what? He goes, now you're Papa Russ. And I said, that's it, I'm Papa Russ. And I didn't expect it to stick.
By the way, Tony did the same thing when Snoop changed from Snoop Dogg to Snoop Lion.
You're a lion. Yeah. You're Snoop Lion.
Let me ask you
something.
Did you
do that for every name change?
Was Rocco planned?
Rocco was an idea that we had, and then it didn't work. And then we said, you know what? Let's just wait until after you graduate, and then we'll try again. But then on Christmas, before my wife graduated with her master's, she made the seven fishes on Christmas that the Italians do. And I ate that. That's got a lot of zinc. It's good for the splooge. And all I could say is we did it on Christmas. And
So how many attempts?
I must have, and I'll tell you, I must have done it this twice. We did it on Christmas, and 3 weeks later, sure as shit, I'm smoking a bowl, and it was right the night after, I had a huge set at the Comedy Store. It was the first time Tommy had ever been nice to me. I had a huge set at the Comedy Store. I'm standing at my balcony. I'm smoking a bowl. I was like, I finally got Los Angeles figured out. And all of a sudden, she goes, Russell, I need you to go to the CVS. I go, why? You sick? She goes, no, I'm pregnant. And I was like, or whatever. So apparently, I knocked it out, walk-off Homer. And then and then this time, I recorded Legal Guardian.
You're the Joe Carter of getting girls pregnant.
I am, or at least my wife. And last
it took me a while. Sorry, I was trying to think of somebody who had a walk-off home run.
Don't ever mention Joe Carter to a Phillies fan. That's that's the worst.
Sorry about that.
Oh my God, seventh grade.
You're the
because I'm a Phillies Yankees fan.
You're the Carlton Fisk of.
And exactly. Yes. And
all right. So this is big news. You're...
So then last year. We taped Legal Guardian right before Christmas, and then
Legal Guardian, the name of
my album, Legal Guardian, on iTunes. Please, please,
go get it.
Buy it for Rocco's college fund. And thank you, Adam. I really hope
it's hilarious.
I do. I'm just going to say this while I'm talking. Adam and Sandy are two of my personal favorite comics, and I have nothing to gain from saying that because neither of them are powerful enough to do anything and or to get me in a movie or anything. So I could say this to them completely genuinely.
Thanks, that's what you think.
You're never going to make a talk like that. My wife and I, though, both really truly think Adam and Sandy are two of the best of the best of the best. So last year we taped Legal Guardian. The night after we had a date for our first date in like months. We went on a date. We did it, New Year's Eve. She came home, and she said, sorry if I was... And it was New Year's Eve. It was the first New Year's I wasn't working in 7 years. We're all excited. I have everything set up. The kid was asleep. I have everything made. And she goes, sorry if I seem scattered on the phone while I was at Walmart. It's just I went into the bathroom, and this happened. And she handed me the pregnancy stick for the second baby.
Whoa.
And at that date that we had after Legal Guardian, the reason that this was the kicker was we had that conversation that couples have, which is, are we going to try
again?
Put it
in the butt tonight. Oh.
Or are we, yes.
Sorry.
Well, yes. And the answer is
I've been out of the game for a
no,
while.
No, it's a all solid right. no. It's a solid no.
All right.
Solid no on that. I've revisited it several times. Solid no. She told me.
It's a loose no. It's a loose no.
No, she told me if I wanted to stick it in someone's ass, I can go to the Comedy Store. She said, you know what those people are willing to do for stage time. And,
that's at Russ Gutten on Twitter.
And at Darren did. We had that conversation where it's like, are we going to try for another kid?
Yes.
Or are we going to be one
it was
and
on
done?
The table.
And we said, no, let's raise one Supreme Court justice and be done with it. Like, we shook on it. We were like, shook on it. And that was it. So that's why this was a surprise, because it was not our plan.
And so a welcome surprise, obviously.
Of course.
But I mean, it's only natural to have. To look at it, so when she says, and then this happened, I mean, you have to allow yourself to have a honest reaction.
I was terrified. And also, I had just poured all that money and effort into the Legal Guardian thing, and I wasn't even finished it yet. Like, we hadn't even started cutting it yet. So I had really worked a whole year on that, or at least the 6 months leading up to it or whatever. So not only was I not emotionally prepared for the baby, I was like, honey, we can't have a baby right now. I'm making this thing.
Yeah.
She's like, well, that's not a reason, you fucking nimcompoop. And after a few hours, honestly, I was okay. And I will tell you this, and I'm going to say this just in general, because I'm a 16-year comic and I can say this. Having a life outside of comedy is imperative. When I knew that Sandy had finally met a nice girl and got married and everything, it made me so happy because... Yeah. I'll use Sandy as sort of the example. And I was saying this about your stand-up earlier, is that you are really excellent, okay? And you do other things that make you stand out, and it's not a cover-up for the for material that you don't have. It's just accoutrement and extra stuff that you add. And then when I saw you get married, the reason I got so excited and I got a comedy boner, as they say, as no one says, is that I thought, oh, my God, now Sandy's going to have this whole other life that informs him and his material and what he's doing. And so the world's really not ready for Sandy to deliver his perspective.
Have something to say.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Sandy's going to be like, take my wife, please. And obviously none of us like that kind of stuff. But I will say this.
No, go ahead.
The minute that we were pregnant with Rocco, the minute that we were pregnant now with Sophia, and I was scared and I was terrified, or back with Rocco, I was working at a restaurant and didn't know if I, when am I going to make it, or blah, 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 or yep. whatever that is. Or with Sophia, I'm finally starting to make it. I can't focus on that now, or whatever it is. The one constant that I found was, and in my career, once the audiences started to like me, was when I said, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I'm terrified. And once my material really was saying that to the people, they loved it. So
interesting.
I don't know. That's how I react to life. Some people react to life through sarcasm or whatever it is. I just want to implore every comic to have a life outside of comedy.
It made you more honest and tapped into...
Absolutely.
It just made you more aware.
I was
right?
always funny. I was always a good writer. I was always a good performer.
Yeah, good stage presence. But now you just... You had a real purpose to talk.
I need the audience.
Yeah.
I need them. I need... At the end of a day...
They like feeling like that.
Of changing diapers and everything, I need to freak out to them about having two babies in a one-bedroom apartment because it's fucking hard.
But not just... but you're also not... Yeah. But you're not up there too just like... For therapeutic purposes.
No.
You're
but
still
I'm,
like cognizant of like, all right, I got to have jokes here.
I'm, yeah, I but I'm saying I need to express
yes.
this because I know that they go through it, and I know I can be a person who can say these things yeah. about raising a kid that this guy who's a fucking accountant can never say. So right. I really enjoy it, and I'm grateful.
And there's something really powerful about like doing that with a room full of strangers than people that you know that are also going through it. Because I'm sure you've got other dads that you know, but they can rap with about certain things.
Well, they want to talk to you after.
They do. They actually don't rap. They just do acapella.
Yeah, they just do acapella rap. And no, they actually want to talk to me afterwards. And they do want to buy a Legal Guardian DVD because now they feel like they know me, or they feel right. like they've gotten to know me. Whereas I feel like. You know, I was a political comedian after 9/11 for a long time, very angry. You know, my goal was really to make everybody upset. It definitely wasn't to make everybody laugh. But like, so.
Oh, you really? You were charged up after that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially having gone, being born in New York, living in New York when 9/11 happened, you know, after college and stuff like that, watching it from my rooftop, not on TV.
What?
Yeah, I lived in Elmhurst, Queens. So we lived right across from there on 86th. So. When the first one hit, we went upstairs, which the joke is, I don't know why we thought, oh, planes are falling out of the sky. We better go to the roof and see what's going on. Sure. I don't know why we...
Yeah. It's like my coach in the fifth grade who had stubby arms. That's not really a necessary detail, but...
He, totally akin to 9/11.
No, listen to the rest of the story. After a game, the game got called because of thunder and lightning, and he goes, before everybody gets out of here, everyone, quick team meeting under this tree. And all the parents froze, and I heard one dad go, you fucking serious? And he was, and we stood under the tree and waited for our to be struck by lightning. Anyway, so you go to the roof because planes
are falling. I remember we watched the second plane from the rooftop. Jesus a lot of my Christ. Best friends who I lived with at that point, I'm actually going to see some of them tonight. We were all together that day, and you know, we still all call each other that day and all that stuff. So during that period, certainly, I was one of the first people to even do stand-up that week.
Yeah.
At Stand Up New York.
Yeah, it took a while for anybody to feel comfortable.
Later that week, I remember I was one of the first people to even go on.
Fuck. How much of your DVD is about your kids?
Not all of it. A lot of it is also about...
It is DVD and CD, right?
It's available as an album on Comedy Records on iTunes, and it's available as a downloadable movie at russkooten.vhx.tv. So, and then it'll be on Amazon and Prime in the new year.
Awesome.
We're doing Legal Guardian Volume 2 next year at New York Comedy Club where we shot this one. The thing I want to tell you guys and everyone listening out there, you guys don't know this. My manager, Emilio, is the new owner. I've never had a manager either. Is the new owner of New York Comedy Club. And
awesome.
They have completely reinvented that place. And I know that there was a little skerfuffle, I think, with some of the battle controversy because I think the other version of battle's there. But that sort of has nothing to do with the fact that that club is like gone from about to close down to being like awesome.
That makes me very excited because I love when stages just... gets better.
And they just reinvented.
And guy's name Emilio.
Yeah, Emilio's the man.
Emilio!
Emilio Savone. And I've never had a manager. I've never had someone who, like, put my picture on the wall, gave me,
that's awesome,
you know, as much stage time as I want. So when you guys are in New York, and for the listeners out there, when Sandy and Adam are in New York,
I thought you were going to offer all the listeners to do stage.
You guys could do stage. All the listeners out there. No, I'm not. I'm saying that I'll make sure that when you guys are in New York, we'll all three be on a show together.
That'd
or if we're here at different times,
yeah,
we'll do a show all together at New York Comedy Club like we did that other time.
Yeah, cool. We'll be the few that know you as Uncle Russ.
Yes.
And they'll be like, Papa Russ, what's this Uncle Russ bullshit? Because
people in New York, too, a lot of them, they don't even know, you know, that I lived in Los Angeles. Like, they think I just started stand-up, like, a few years ago and came to it later in life, which is weird.
As long as the kin can be there and my ex-girlfriend. Yeah.
They might see us this week. Wait, are you leaving tomorrow?
I go to Arizona tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, okay, because the kin might come to Comedy Juice on Thursday. Because they're out here recording.
Would love to hear them.
Well, okay, but they're here recording.
I also could probably look up their music, right?
Yes.
I'm assuming it's on the internet.
But Legal Guardian is not totally... It's more about my journey as a dad and my food allergies and not wanting to give them to the kid and becoming like my parents.
Do you have to see a separate version of the Peanuts movie?
Yes, I do. It has to be wheat-free, peanut-free, gluten-free, and Lucy-free because Lucy's a cunt. She's a judgmental cunt. Honestly.
I wanted to end the podcast on that. Wait, are you having a nut allergy?
No, I'm allergic to yeast, wheat, gluten, flour, dairy, and starches. So potatoes, rice, sugar.
Jesus. As if it was already an ordeal to eat lunch with a Jew.
Good thing he's not allergic to gluten.
Yes. Well, that what my podcast was allergic
sorry,
to.
Sorry, everybody.
Allergic
sorry.
To gluten?
Allergic to gluten. I did one season, and we're going to do a special.
Well, my special is Illegal Guardian.
Illegal Guardian. Illegal. My new special is Anchor Baby, the Sandy Danto story.
Allergic to gluten's a great
thank you.
Shirt or
allergic to gluten.
What
we did one season
or anti-Semitic mantra.
Yes. Well, but or how most comics feel about my stand-up and
shots fired everybody
shots
about
fired
us.
At himself Wait. About how other comics feel about how he thinks. No, but Clark Parkhurst, who did Allergic to Goon with me, is not a comic. He's an amazing special effects artist and filmmaker and director. So that's why that was fun. It was just us talking about whether or not RoboCop still has junk. So
you love movies. And you love,
movies are my religion.
You love Marvel type stuff.
Yeah, movies and superheroes.
Action. Yeah, superheroes.
Movies and superheroes is what I worship.
So
personally.
Real quick before we wrap this up, how fascinated were you when you found out I played Wolverine at Universal Studios? And be honest.
Well, it was the best because
did
you like Wolverine? Huh? You like the X-Men? You like Dr. Xavier? You like mutants? I could do that bit of yours.
Yeah, one of my first
hours.
Bits. And by the way, true story.
I know. It's
I
the
didn't
best
know
bit.
Shit. They gave me books and DVDs.
And you didn't know anything about Wolverine?
No.
I thought that part was a put on.
Fuck no. I didn't even know when they asked me in the audition. They were like, "What are your special skills?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, I can play the ukulele because Tony Danza can." And I was just channeling Danza, which, by the way, channeling Danza is a new reality series I'm selling to A&E.
I can tap dance.
Those medium shows? I can do that with Tony Danza, and that's it.
I can do a nice soft shoe.
Yeah. So then they were like, "What about healing on command?" I go, "Yeah, sure, if you like that kind of stuff." And they're just like, "Okay, this guy doesn't know shit about this, but he looks like it." And I made the two gay bosses laugh, and they were like, "He should be on the force.
I didn't know that. Now I know how you got cast in that movie.
Also the hair and the fucking, you know.
Yeah, and filling out the Logan, as they say. I was fascinated that you did that.
What do you love about superheroes, though?
When I was... My house burned down when I was 7 years old.
Holy
shit.
So
we lived in an apartment.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. Sandy, you fuck.
My condolences.
Thank you. I didn't do it.
By the way, I hate that, by the way. That might be a Larry David, like it's one of my... Like, I bet he hates that, too, but when I see people...
What the fuck is a condolence? Yeah.
But also, it's like, it's such a cheap, like, easy way to get away with just,
so
like...
So insincere.
It's so insincere.
It was 1986. Yeah. It's okay. No condolences necessary. We rebuilt the house. It's fine. My parents still live there to this day. That, and then I also had a blood disease at the same time, so I ended up having
Jesus
to get my...
Jesus, Russ, we're trying to end on a fucking positive note.
I'm telling you the positive note, you cocksucker. There's an uplifting part to this story. You gotta suffer to have triumph.
Anyway. Ranks on the corner. Never ever be foul.
Okay, go back to what works, Russ.
Did the jacket. Go back to what works, and it's a Belvedere sing-along.
Never ever be foul. And, So a lot of the times I was stuck in a hospital bed,
Jesus.
Or we were sitting around or whatever. So Lord of the Rings, superheroes, comic books, all of that stuff. And even before then, but comic books and Lord of the Rings at a very, very young age and movies became so important because I had chronic ITP. I wasn't even really allowed to like do a lot of activities because I would just roll over at night. And if I slept on my right side would be black and blue. And the teacher would think that my parents beat me.
Oh, no.
And they'd be like, Russell, is everything okay at home?
Sounds like you had chronic ICP.
Oh!
Clown pus.
Oh!
Sorry.
No, no, you are a juggalo, so I know that you can't help it. That's actually what Sandy does. That's how him and his wife met. They met at a juggalo.
At a gathering.
At a juggalo gathering. At a jaggering. And so that really became my escape, my adventures, my friends. So when I when my son doesn't know what a crucifix is or a star from a Star of David, but he can tell you every symbol, every secret identity, who's friends with who, who's good and bad sometimes.
Who's good in bed?
Like, good in bed. But, like he's always...
That's... he almost, like... Does he almost a Rain Man-type ability? Like, the way that he...
The way that a church kid would, like, be spitting to you, like, Bible stories.
Okay.
He knows who Dr. Bruce Banner is. He knows the story.
How happy does that make you?
That's, for me, that's...
How old is he again?
He's 4.
And you talk... So you have legit conversations with him about this shit.
Oh, yeah. He loves it. And
you basically were like, yo, I fucking made this thing with my dick.
Yeah.
I'm going to, like, make sure that I can be buddies with him.
Exactly.
At age 4 and talk with him about the stuff that I like.
Right, right. Exactly. And to that
point... But he likes it.
And, yeah, and to that point, that it Captain America is my friend. He's not... Like, I don't think of Superman or Batman as just characters. Like, they are there for me no matter what has happened to me.
Yeah.
Period.
Wow.
So the only...
That's how you approached it when you were growing up and you were had your disease and you were...
Yeah. Same thing with Lord of the Rings, too. Like, I read Lord of the Rings very, very young. And so...
Now, why not like the Goonies or the cast of Designing Women or something like that?
No, that too. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Lord of the Rings and movies. Like, movies to this day... I really can't live without movies. I have to have a movie on while I'm working. I have to have a movie on while I'm sleeping. I have to have a movie on.
Because they're there for you.
All the time. I watch Lebowski before I perform.
I watch Lebowski.
Every time before I perform.
Oh, my God. I watched Lebowski my sophomore year of college in my fraternity. Three of us lived in one room. We put it on, depending on who got home at what point, if the other two were asleep. It would be on, or if you got home first, you'd put it on, and we went to bed to it that whole year, like fell asleep to it.
Right.
So hearing the...
Yeah, I watch it before...
Dude,
yeah,
as like,
I
put me to sleep.
Every day. And when I'm... If I'm ever in a position to have a rider and a contract, it will have to play in my green room.
Coincidentally, like, I jerk off to Shanghai Nights.
That's
just
funny.
The soundtrack.
That's so
just
funny.
The soundtrack.
That's so funny.
That's amazing, dude. So yeah. your connection goes very deep
big,
to that.
Big time. Big time. And actually, one of the movies that I love, another movie that is my favorite movie in the world is Goodfellas. And Luke Curry, who you guys know, is my best, one of my best friends, but I would say he's my closest comedian friend. We've traveled, we've moved all my stuff cross country together. We've been through so many adventures together. He does the best Joe Pesci in the restaurant. So I'm sitting in the diner in the fucking weeds, you know. No one. And Luke is black from North Carolina. No one does Joe Pesci from Goodfellas better than fucking Luke Curry the second.
That.
You guys have to hear that. But Goodfellas, too. That's a movie that I'll turn on every day while I'm hanging out at the house, you know?
Well, I don't know what to say other than you're the fucking man.
Oh, man.
And he's a good fella.
You're a good fella. You're a great dad. You're a great comic. You're a good dude. I'm so glad we could make this work. Sandy, thanks for filling in for Brad.
I feel fulfilled.
But this, you know, it was meant to be.
Brad feels filled in.
Yeah. I filled in.
Doesn't take a lot. I mean, it's a lot in a small package with Brad, you know?
It really
I think
is.
You could tear that. I think you could dig that ass out.
I don't see size, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Thanks.
Thanks for making time, man.
No. Thanks for asking me. Thanks for having me. And
dude, you were great. I can't wait for people to hear this episode.
Thanks for... But you guys have always also just been really, really, really awesome to me on and off stage. And I can't say that about everybody.
Hey, Jewish is
my wife
than
and
a
I
bagel.
Really, we really do, we really love.
Oh yeah, man, dude. When you when Divine and I were in Philly, and you you came in and took us to the, drove Adam and I instead of having our car service. Russ was like, I'll take you guys. He goes, I got the Uber. It's a Juber, dude. Divine, we were quoting you for the next like 4 days of the trip.
Oh really?
Because Kyle Walsh,
Adam Divine was.
Yeah, because they were just like, they were like, your boy Russ. They're like, a lot of energy, and Walsh was like, he's like, his, and then it would just be like, it's not an Uber, it's a Juber. Like they would.
The The best was Adam was stuck. Adam was sitting in the back seat, crammed in between Rocco's car seat and the door. And I was like, hey, you like that, superstar? Yeah, what, hey, how's your Modern Family fucking recurring going?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, now you're in the back of a Ford Focus. Yeah, Things are looking up for your career, you cocksucker.
And that's when I was like, Russ, if you could let us off right here, that'd be
right,
great.
We'll walk
to the hotel.
Russ, I was going to recommend you, but now you called him a cocksucker, and you're making it really hard.
Yeah, yeah. And you drive a Ford Focus, not a Batmobile. I love you. Thanks for doing it.
I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Legal Guardian on iTunes and RussGutin.com for all that stuff, right?
Thank you.
Hell yeah. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, motherfucker. I spit. Sorry. I spit. I sang Mr. Belvedere. All the feels.
Legal Guardian, guys.
What a good way to close it.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy.
This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.